Aha, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it, 6 minutes after the hour. Yes, join us if you feel like the styrofoam dummy in the Zimmerman trial this week.
Good
it's
Lord.
Been a long week. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. That poor abused thing.
I know.
Getting the foam dummy. All right, 1-800-STEP-12.
And they just have the one phone dummy. Dummy.
Right. There's not even a stand-in. There's
no.
Nothing. All right.
Don't talk about Brian Kilmeade that way.
Oh, stop it. We'll talk about that later. Did you see that headline? Brian Kilmeade throws a basketball in a toddler's face and then laughs about it.
Yep. Should be a segment on Fox News. Brian Dilweed beats the crap out of a kid because he had it coming.
Right, right.
And then he pretty much blamed the kid.
Yeah.
Hey, you should put your hands up. What's wrong with you?
Get your toddler face.
Come on, put your jokes up. Take it. Come on.
How'd you like Brian Kilmeade to be your dad?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Yikes. All right, so Marcia Clark.
Come on, you pansy. Come on. Fight like a man.
All right. All right. We, by the way, have Marcia Clark on the big show today.
Yep.
She's been all over the TV, fabulous, talking about the Zimmerman trial. Sexy Liberal John Fugelsang for Fridays with Fugelsang, and much more. But first, I can't believe we can even function today. The inventor of Twister has died.
I know.
Dead Hand Red. I've many, many hours of fun playing Twister in my youth. The Minnesota man whose Twister game launched decades of awkward social interactions at parties has died. He was 82. Charles Chuck Foley.
Yeah.
We hardly knew ye. The game, Jim, became a sensation after Johnny Carson and Ava Gabor played it on The Tonight Show in 1966.
Wow. I didn't know that.
I just remember the time she came on the set with a cat in her lap.
Was that her? No, that was Raquel Welch.
No. It was one of the Gabor sisters.
Really?
I'm pretty
Someone
sure.
knows. And he said, what, Jim? He said, would you like to pet my pussy?
Would you like to pet my pussy? As long as you get that damn can out of your lap.
Yay!
This is the dirtiest show I've ever been on.
Snopes says that's a false story.
Really?
I remember seeing it.
Yeah, no, I think it's
a story,
but I don't think it was a Gabor. All right, we've gotten off the rails already. All right, so the breaking news, we mentioned this yesterday, they won't be able to consider a manslaughter charge in the Zimmerman trial. Jurors considering whether to find George Zimmerman guilty of second-degree murder will also be able to ponder manslaughter as an alternative charge. The judge in the case has ruled the decision made over the objections of Zimmerman's whiny defense counsel. I just injected that word.
A little whiny.
Oh, God. It's like a toddler that's just been hit in the face by a basketball by Brian Kilmeade. Literally, the judge had to say, stop. I've already ruled. He's just like, no! She actually said, yes, you continually disagree with this court every time I make a ruling. She admonished him after he lost a bid to have the judge include in her instructions to the jury a certain item of legal advice. He said, do not continue to argue with the court after I've ruled. If I have made a mistake in the case, you will appeal. A higher court can determine whether or not I've made a mistake. Good day, sir. You get nothing.
You get nothing!
Don West is his name.
Mm-hmm.
So this would reduce Zimmerman's potential sentence from life to anything up to 30 years if convicted on the new lesser charge. While legal commentators believe the state has struggled to prove the second-degree murder requirement that Zimmerman acted with ill will, hatred, spite, or evil intent when he shot Trayvon Martin, that manslaughter removes that stipulation defined as unlawful killing without malice. I would argue, I feel like they've made the case, don't you, Jim? Second-degree murder?
How
is that not... Right.
Mm-hmm.
How are you not, like,
How
all
is that
these
not intent?
Effing punks always get away with this.
And implying that they're not going to get away with
right.
it this time.
Right.
And as I heard somebody say, I think it was our friend Lisa Bloom on TV, do you think he got fonder of Trayvon Martin during the fight? After he called him an effing punk and, you know,
This is all stuff
How is
make,
that not malice? Right? I mean, how is that not... Racially profiling mm-hmm. with malice, right. stalking, and then, you know, who cares what happened after that? An unarmed kid is dead.
The prosecution would be good to bring this up.
Right. Right.
And maybe the jury will talk about it in the jury room. It's hard to say.
Bernie DiLaRonda, the Florida assistant state attorney, yesterday.
A teenager is dead. He is dead through no fault of his own. He is dead because another man made assumptions.
Yeah, they called George Zimmerman, we've said, wannabe cop. George Zimmerman profiled Trayvon Martin as a criminal, followed him with a gun, provoked him into a fight that resulted in the shooting death. And by the way, I'm not surprised he didn't take the stand, because as we were saying, they've caught him, and they pointed that out yesterday, they've caught him lying how many times about this story. Attorney again.
Why does this defendant get out of the car if he thinks that Trayvon Martin is a threat to him? Why? Why? Because he's got a gun.
Right.
He's got the equalizer. He's going to take care of it. He's a wannabe cop.
Yep. Thank you.
Exactly.
As we were saying yesterday, a former LAPD cop called in. He said, I'm a cop. I would have stayed in the car.
Mm-hmm.
That's
what
and he's trained law enforcement.
Right.
Right. And wait for backup. Just like
if you think there's a threat.
Just like Deputy Dog there was told to do, and he didn't. Defense lawyers closing arguments today.
Yeah.
That was obviously yesterday.
And the jury may get it today.
Right. So time and again, the attorney accused Zimmerman of lying, which he did. I mean, I suppose that was good legal advice not to testify because there was a lot of holes in his story.
Mm-hmm.
He tried to undermine Zimmerman's contention he was not following but rather looking for a street address. Again, I heard commentators shoot that down yesterday because they said, he lived there. He knew what street he was on. The street sign was right there. I mean, all of his story is like, oh, I wasn't following him. I was just trying to find an address to give
to
the police.
Mm-hmm. Effing punks. Can't find their addresses.
Right. Right.
Why don't they put their names on the mailboxes, effing punks?
Prosecutors sought to reveal inconsistencies in Zimmerman's statements, repeatedly quoted him speaking in police jargon and describing Martin as the suspect, which... thank you. That says it all right there. I mean, multiple times, the suspect.
Right.
Here he is again, Bernie DiLaRonda.
This defendant made the wrong assumption. He profiled him as a criminal. He assumed certain things, that Trayvon Martin was up to no good.
He went on to say, who started this? Who followed who? Who was minding his own business? And of the two, who is armed? He avoided mentioning race, but said Zimmerman profiled Martin, suggesting he assumed he was a criminal because he was black. He also, I don't know if you saw this part, he paraphrased Martin Luther King trying to defend Rachel, Gentile.
Mm-hmm.
And you said that this was disgraceful, the way she was even treated on Fox News and sort of mocked.
Right.
Because she's a young black girl that, is not used to being cross-examined on a witness stand.
Right. And doesn't have, the firmest grasp of the English language, as a lot of kids don't.
She was on the phone with Martin when, obviously, he encountered Zimmerman. She underscored the racial divide in the case by using what DiLaRonda called colorful language when she quoted Martin as referring to Zimmerman as crazy-ass cracker. She also testified that Martin told Zimmerman to get off, suggesting Zimmerman initiated the confrontation.
Mm-hmm.
He said, I had a dream that a witness was judged not by the color of her personality, but the content of her testimony. That was a good one.
Yeah.
earlier on Thursday, the judge gave jurors the option of convicting Zimmerman of the lesser charge of manslaughter. But, and we'll ask Marsha Clark what she thinks, but I feel like they proved the case of malice and ill intent, all the stuff that's in the law under second degree, yada, yada. Yada, yada.
Yada, yada?
Right. All right.
Is that jargon?
Right.
Jargon. Jargon, take me away.
That's funny. It's a Calgon joke.
Yes.
Okay, I get it. All right. Hey, speaking of comedy, Pat Robertson speaks, and so there is comedy. He said, he's awfully chatty about the homos lately, isn't he?
He seems to be a little bit obsessed with the homos.
What's going on?
Yeah.
Apparently he has a huge, huge gay audience, Jim. That's what he says.
Uh-huh.
Right. Yeah, many homosexuals watch his program.
Yeah.
Sure.
Because of that warm, fuzzy feeling he gives us. That kind of affirmation.
Sure.
I am very pleased that we have many, many, many homosexuals watching this program.
Really?
And many of them are looking for love and acceptance and help. And
that's where you go.
I'm glad to report that we have thousands of these people who are saying, we want to follow Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
We're not happy with the lifestyle we're in, and we want to have a better way.
Right.
So
Jesus,
I think it's wonderful that's happening. And I just... think we're not anti-gay or anything, but this whole thing came about when they forsook God. It was not something that is natural. It needs, when people reunite with the Lord will get their priorities the way it's supposed to be. There are a lot of people who are into this homosexual thing because they've been abused by a parent, abused by a coach, abused by a sibling, abused by a friend.
Really?
And they're little boys, little girls, they don't know any better, and then they somehow think, well, I must be gay. Well, they aren't. They're heterosexual, and they just need to come out of that.
Snap out of it!
Gays are just straight people who've forsaken God. That's just so...
Snap out of it!
Were you abused by a softball teacher?
No.
Did Brian Kinney throw a basketball at your head?
He did have some thoughts, but the...
Your brother probably did.
The vast majority of gays were not abused.
Right. And you can be gay and follow Jesus, Pat. Just,
what?
Just telling you. You know,
you need to
know.
Get your priorities in order, mister.
Can you like Jesus on Facebook?
Priority should be safe. Get him straight.
Can you hit vomit on Jesus on Facebook?
On the Facebooks?
Who would Jesus hit the vomit button for?
Pat Robertson.
<Yeah. laughs> That was yesterday's episode of Pat Robertson. He wishes there was a vomit button on Facebook.
For pictures of
too,
gay
but
guys.
But for
on
other
the
reasons.
Facebooks.
Right. You shouldn't hit like on pictures of the gays. You should hit vomit.
Right.
If only Facebook would.
But he only said two gay guys,
that was,
though.
Right.
The gay chicks.
Same-sex guys.
I mean, you know.
They're same-sex guys.
Yeah.
He thinks for two girls there should be a really like button.
That's yeah.
Likey, likey, likey.
There should be a lick button.
Likey,
likey. Well, you know, as long as the chicks are hot,
I wish there was a vomit button. That was a good idea, but for different reasons.
Sure.
Just vomit. Stop showing off.
I just think I'm going to vomit.
That's all Facebook is for, showing off.
Stop it.
That's all it's for, Stephanie.
Stop, you exhibitionist. Splat.
That's all it's for.
Okay. He did have some thoughts on the, I don't know what, probably the vast majority of homosexuals not been abused. He speculated homosexuals have not been abused, maybe got some chromosomal damage, differing them from heterosexuals.
Sure.
So there's that. You got some...
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right. You get damaged chromosomes if you weren't abused. All right. So then how would you snap out of it chromosomally, I wonder? Is that possible? How would you get your priorities straight if you have chromosomal damage?
Well, just go to Chromosomes or Us and buy yourself some new chromosomes.
Okay.
Preferably right. Ones that don't have unicorns and sparkle ponies.
Right.
And rainbows.
Right.
And monsters.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. Lustful ones.
Lustful ones. The most right. Lustful kind.
Oh, 18 minutes after the hour, we'll have to play that again for the ecclesiastical movie.
Yeah.
Hour number three. All right. We continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
It's just implied, but we all know what's going on in this thought bubble. The kids don't know, but we do.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
I'm a bitch, I'm a lover, I'm a child, I'm a mother, I'm a sinner, I'm a saint. I do not feel ashamed, I'm your hell, I'm your dream. I'm nothing in between, you know you wouldn't want it any other way.
Y'all are mean.
Jim was doing alternative lyrics that had to do with her career. That was mean, y'all.
Yeah.
Meredith Brooks?
Well, hey, she's a bitch. Life's a bitch.
And that's why her career is nowhere.
Stop it. 23 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12.
She stole the title from Stone Song.
Okay. Oh, by the way.
What?
Because we start everything important here on the Stephanie Miller Show. All day yesterday trending on Twitter was...
Sharknado.
It's a tornado man of sharks, y'all.
Did you see it?
No.
They spent dozens of dollars on the special effects.
Right.
Yes.
Ian Ziering protects Los Angeles from sharks that have been lifted out of the water by a tornado.
Three tornadoes
thrown onto land. And he deals with it how, Jim?
With a series of homemade bombs.
Good idea.
Sharks flying through the air, biting off people's arms.
Right.
That's...
And what would you do?
Dogs sleeping with cats, crisis of biblical proportions.
Uh-huh.
You would devise some homemade bombs is what you would do there.
Some would say Sharknado is a homemade bomb, but...
Hey!
You know, it's probably the highest rated thing that sci-fi has shown in a really long time.
I wonder if Meredith Brooks did the theme song. Now, kids, come on. I'm a shark.
I'm a biter.
Shark, I'm a tornado. You wouldn't
Eric.
Want it any other way.
Eric in Atlanta on the Zimmerman trial. Hello, Eric.
Hello, Stephanie.
Hello.
It seems like to me there's one issue that is missing from the conversation this morning.
What's that?
That you can't see them on TV, and that is that we have an all-white jury and one white Hispanic. If I was George Zimmerman, this is the perfect situation for him.
Yeah.
You understand?
For
the simple fact is, he's killed a black person. If I was black and had killed a white person under any circumstances, I would want an all-black jury.
You know, it's hard to, you know, Eric, it's hard to ignore that, you know, race certainly is a part of this trial. And, I have to say, he's an unlikely hero. I guess, you know, whether it's Fox News or Sean Hannity or, you know, people that want to make him some sort of, like, Second Amendment hero, wouldn't you pick someone better? I mean, you know, I get it if it's a home invasion and you're defending yourself. How is this defending yourself?
It's not.
Yeah.
I mean, don't you think, like, even Second Amendment people would want to pick a better hero?
But the point is this, what I'm trying to get to is, you know, he has an ideal situation. You know, this is like the old times when you know, crimes used to be committed against black people and they would get an all-white jury. It wouldn't make no difference what the evidence was. You know?
Well, I mean, I think we saw it the other way with the O.J. jury, obviously. It's interesting watching
Marsha
Clark.
King. Look at Rodney King. They even had him on tape being beat by police, but he had an all-white jury.
Yeah. Well, I'd like to think, Eric, we're farther ahead in race in this country, but, you know, perhaps we're not. We'll see. Anthony in Raleigh, North Carolina, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show on Evil Uncle Chuckles. Pat Robertson. Hello, Anthony.
Good morning. Is it just me? Did anybody else catch how Pat Robertson actually is starting to evolve a little bit? Because he forever was saying that it's a choice and, you know, it's a life choice, it's a decision you've made to be gay. But then he says it was chromosome, so maybe he's admitting that you are born that way.
He's channeling Lady Gaga now. You're right.
There you go.
Position has evolved, which means he believes in evolution. So, hey!
Everything's coming up roses.
That's true. Although he nicely said that they were damaged chromosomes. So he is admitting it may be somewhat genetic, and yet they're icky and mutated.
Sure.
They're like a shark in a tornado.
They're just damaged from watching Will and Grace.
Right.
Damaged your chromosomes. So.
Right. We should have talked to Eric McCormick about that yesterday.
If you sit too close to the TV watching
Will
and Grace.
Turns your chromosomes gay.
Yeah.
Charlotte in Columbia, South Carolina, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Charlotte.
Hey, how are you guys?
Good. Go ahead.
I love watching your show. It's my fix of the day.
Thank you.
Got a little bit for you on the Stand Your Ground law. Headline, the state newspaper yesterday, which is published in Columbia, South Carolina. Home invader shot and killed the homeowner is on trial for murder. They had to stop the trial because he claimed the Stand Your Ground defense. He said, the guy was going to kill me, so I killed him first.
Oi,
isn't that rich?
Mm. Yeah, I mean, I
broke into his house and he tried to kill me. I had to shoot him.
I mean, story after story. Ohio boy admitted he fatally shot his mother when he was 10 after what a relative described as an argument over chores.
Wow. Oh, my God.
Okay. Jim in Cleveland, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Jim.
Yeah, Steph, I'm tired of these talking heads talking about their points, and they got to be correct. They're not always correct. I wish somebody would say, you're wrong. Don't tell me this.
In regards to what lately?
Anything. Like Obamacare. It's working.
Right.
Don't tell me it's not working.
Yep. You know what? It's interesting, Jim. There's a great piece in the Daily Beast today by our friend John Favreau. The GOP is terrified Obamacare could be a success.
Right.
And Jackie's made a lot of these same points. The funny thing is you don't hear that, what he just said on the news. And we'll talk about this piece next because it is.
Yep.
And there are a number of quantitative reasons it is working, and that is why they're terrified. And why would the Koch brothers spend even more money? After flushing however many millions down the toilet, the Karl Rove turlet, the turd blossom turlet last election cycle, because they're terrified. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
It's judgmental, sanctimonious, and frankly, just obnoxious. So.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 34 minutes after the hour. Who's having a Friday pizza party? Who brought enough pizza to share?
Mama did.
Yay. Okay. And also, your current obsession.
What?
You claim that story never happened. Where, well, he thinks it was Sasha Gabor, and I think it was Raquel Welch.
Right, had the Johnny Carson.
Cat, right, on her lap, and it was the famous line, "Would you like to pet my pussy?" And he said, "Sure, move the cat." And that's, everybody claims it was someone, but they're saying it never happened?
Snopes says
I could have sworn
happened.
I saw the clip. And you could have sworn you saw
it. Yeah, I could swear it was Zsa-Zsa, and hear her saying it with that accent.
Yeah, Snopes says the apocryphal Tonight Show incident with Zsa-Zsa Gabor and her cat is a wellspring of one of the greatest manufactured memories in modern popular culture. No matter how many millions of people swear they were watching the Tonight Show when the exchange took place, it simply didn't happen.
Really?
But both Johnny Carson and Zsa-Zsa Gabor have denied that it ever happened.
Thank God for Sharknado. Otherwise, there'd be a giant void.
I deny that Sharknado ever happened.
Oh, you can't deny that.
Oh, no, that happened.
That happened last night.
Earl in Chapel Hill, North Carolina. Hello, Earl.
Hello, Stephanie. How are you?
Good. Go ahead.
Good. No, I just wanted to talk about how the North Carolina state government has taken us back to the 1950s.
Yeah.
And it's really a shame what they're doing to education.
That was clever, by the way, that they shoved the abortion bill into a motorcycle safety bill.
Yes, they did.
Yeah, that's clever.
And yes, and they want to eliminate increased teacher salaries for ones that have master's degrees. They want to pay them the same as any other teacher, and they say that'll save some money and not harm education. And they want to allow guns and bars, things of the sort. So they're taking us back slowly but surely.
Yeah, guns and alcohol. Mm-hmm. It's like peanut butter and jelly. Always historically a terrific combination. All right, I was telling Jim, our caller, just before the break about this great piece in the Daily Beast by John Favreau. The GOP is terrified Obamacare could be a success. He writes, has anyone else noticed how pathetically frightened the Republican Party is that Obamacare just might succeed?
Yeah. Yeah.
Jackie's made this point.
You're absolutely
right. Yeah. And I think it's worth pointing out. He said, I know we're all supposed to think that the end is nigh because the government's decided to give the 10% of large employers who don't insure their workers another 365 days to do so before levying a small penalty. This could not possibly be a reasonable accommodation to protect jobs and businesses because, as everyone knows, this president hates jobs and businesses. No, this brief delay must be a sign that the implementation of the Affordable Care Act is destined to result in abject failure. After all, that's what every congressional program with the Republican with the ability to send a press release has told us over and over again, hoping that repeating their prediction enough times will somehow make it true. We played all of those sound bites yesterday of them all, Remember the whispery guy? It's a disaster. She's admitting it's a disaster. And in case you haven't noticed,
he's black. That guy was lame.
Yeah. blah, blah, blah. He said, here's my question. If Republicans are so confident Obamacare will end badly, why not just shut up about it?
That's right, really let good, it fail.
Right. Why bother voting to repeal it 37 times? I mean, he talks about they tried, we'd had an election, they had a conservative chief justice handed a victory for Obamacare. He said, at this point, why not sit back and wait for this crazy experiment to self-destruct? Why not let President Obama and the Democrats reckon with the millions of angry Americans who will undoubtedly hate their new insurance and their new insurance protections?
Because they're skeered.
Yes, exactly. That's what he writes, because Republicans are terrified Obamacare could actually work. Mm-hmm. Already the law has provided 54 million Americans free access to preventative services like checkups and mammograms. More than 6 million seniors have saved more than $6 billion on their prescriptions. Nearly 13 million consumers have received more than $1 billion in rebates. I've heard from a lot of listeners that got them already from insurance companies that had overcharged them. There are more than 3 million happy young adults who have been allowed to stay on their parents' health insurance until they turn 26. And in California, we've talked about this before, a state that represents one-fifth of the U.S. economy, we learned premiums for the law's new insurance options have come in lower than expected. We've been covering that story over and over. As these successes build, Republicans are naturally coping with their fear the only way they know how, by scaring the hell out of everyone else. And they talk about the Koch brothers, who are spending, again, millions with the same previously debunked lies about health care. Jackie went through it yesterday, the ad. She's like, lie, lie, lie.
Exactly.
They're just recycled lies now. Mitch McConnell even threatened the NFL for even considering the administration's request to help educate uninsured Americans about the fact that they can receive affordable coverage under the law. This is not politics anymore. This is the law of the land.
And the NFL capitulated to Mitch McConnell.
Yeah, because he's a scary total.
I won. I beat up all those NFL pansies.
Put them up. Put them up.
I threatened to roll on them with my shell.
John Favreau writes in the Daily Beast, the anti-government zealots who have taken over the once proud Republican Party feel they must burn our village to save it. They are actively trying to prevent Americans who have been too poor or sick to get health insurance from knowing all three branches of their democratically elected government have passed and upheld a law that will finally allow them to see a doctor without going broke. This is not to say implementation will be easy or without problems. Again, you know, as Jackie said over and over again, this is a heavy lift. This is not going to be easy. It is going to be messy. No big program ever has been. He says some wounds will be self-inflicted by poorly written provisions or bureaucrats who make mistakes because they're human. Others will be inflicted by Republican governors and legislatures who refuse to accept the money the federal government is providing to expand health insurance programs for the poor and disabled. But there's now plenty of evidence if we as a nation want Obamacare to work, it will work. If we can extract ourselves from the trench warfare that preceded the passage of the law, we can all start focusing on fixing and improving it over the next year. Out in America, I know there are not only plenty of Democrats and independents who feel this way, but Republicans as well. What these Americans need to do now is speak up and be heard, because the antics of their frightened representatives in Washington are endangering the health care of millions and embarrassing their party in the process. Thank you, John Favreau in the Daily Beast.
He is awesome sauce.
Right? The president's carny yesterday.
The House Republicans who are driving this narrative are not concerned about a delay in the implementation of a law that they oppose. They want to kill the bill.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Representative Nancy Pelosi yesterday.
The point is that the mandate was not delayed. Certain reporting by businesses that could be perceived as onerous, that reporting requirement was delayed.
So are they sending Uma Thurma in with a samurai sword to kill the bill?
To kill the bill, right.
You see what
and
you
an
see
eye patch.
Because there's a movie.
An eye patch.
No, that was Daryl Hannah wore the eye patch.
Right, my bad. Okay. Senator John Thune. Yes.
And the House is going to vote this week on delaying the individual mandate for a year. I support that. We're talking about permanent delay. We'd like to see the thing delayed completely for everybody.
The House is too busy getting immigration. Oh, no, they're not. They hurt. Well, we will talk to D.C. Triple C Chairman Steve Israel about this. The House is just,
they're in disarray.
What is the point of them? They're like a condom with a hole in it. They really are.
They were in disarray, then they're in dead array.
Right. This and that.
Well, Boehner is just one of the most worthless leaders the House has seen in a really long time.
The special mistake of the tavern.
Here's the good thing. If they're nothing if not current in their comedy over in the House. GOP Representative, trusting Obama with border security is like trusting Bill Clinton with your daughter.
Really? He made a 15-year-old joke?
Really? 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 Tim Hulskamp, that guy, Kansas congressman.
Kangriff?
Kansasman.
Kangriff.
That'd be a cool movie for buy half kangaroo, half kangriffman.
I'm sure it's in production right now. Because they've had Sharktopus.
Call it Kangnado.
He made no bones about his suspicion over President Obama's enforcement of the proposed immigration reform bill's border security. He tweeted, "Most House R's agree with most Senate R's and Americans. Trusting Obama with border security is like trusting Bill Clinton with your daughter." Border security, by the way, FYI, is actually increased significantly under Obama's watch. But
But they don't care about details like that.
Whatever.
It's like getting in a plane with Wiley Post. See what?
Because
that's correct.
That's when. That's my point.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay. 30s. Oh, right then. Yes, the president, by the way, is pushing House Republicans on immigration. Good luck with that. Do you have something?
I had an itch.
Oh, you had something. Because every time you do that, I have something on my face.
No. Usually I'm looking at you. I was just kind of looking off. Yeah.
Oh.
Sorry.
As I get older and start to lose more feeling in my face, I can't ever tell if there's things hanging. I just assume it's me.
As you have more and more work done, you lose feeling in your face.
My face feels tight.
There are only so many times that you can cut up your face without damaging every single nerve there.
I can't feel anything in my face.
Didn't I have something green yesterday? And Jim said, "Did you fall down in the spinach patch?"
Yeah, you had like three vertical green stripes on your face.
Right. Okay, what was I saying? President Obama jumped into the immigration debate, releasing a report touting economic benefits from reforms and meeting with Hispanic lawmakers. The report, have you seen this? Somebody was saying last week on the Sunday shows, this has every Republican goal in there, right?
Right.
Passing reforms would expand the economy 3.3% by 2023, reduce the federal deficit by almost $850 billion over 20 years. Representative Xavier Becerra said he was open to do anything we thought in Congress would be helpful. Well, here's what those in Congress think would be helpful, and that is obstructing everything that he wants to do. That's what they think would be helpful. The guy who conducted the study I was just talking about said most House Republicans believe they could defeat a Democratic challenger in the general election, but they don't know if they'll face a Republican primary challenge if they vote for the immigration bill backed by the president. I mean, this is what we've come to. That's all they're scared of is a you know, crazy Tea Party challenge. So one representative, James Lankford of Oklahoma, said passing such legislation is not urgent. If we run out of time by the end of the year, I don't think we push it. Yeah. This is a problem that's festered for decades.
Sure.
So let's just
like global warming.
Continue, let it fester and get even worse.
Yeah, exactly.
Just like Fukushima leaking radiation in the Pacific Ocean. Hey, don't worry about it. It's fine.
Does this look infected yet? Nah.
Yeah. Are you sure your fish glows in the dark? I wouldn't.
Has it become a pus-filled boil yet? No.
Ew. Okay, 45 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
For a good time, call now. 1-800-STEP-12. Stephanie Miller.
Yeah, get it, catch it. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 50 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Mike in West Virginia, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Mike.
Good morning. I'm glad that Reverend Robertson feels he has a massive contingent of chromosexuals.
Right.
Exactly.
Damaged chromosexuals watching.
What a douche nozzle. Anyway, I love, you know, I'm a big fan, love the show. We saw you out here in D.C., Mama. You were fantastic.
Thank you.
We loved it. And I just wanted to point out that here's an idea. We can whisper, too. It works.
It's working.
Obamacare
is working.
Do you hear the Republicans, Kennison, screaming, it's working? Thank you, guys.
All right,
thanks, honey. Love you. I mean it. It really is kind of incredible. You would think after the ass-whooping they took in the Hispanic vote, it looked like this is the one thing they would get done, if for no other reason than just for politics, right?
Yeah.
Not because it's the right thing to do. Don't be ridiculous.
Right.
That's, you know, not because it will help in any way. Meeting for the first time as a group to hash out their approach to immigration. House Republicans yesterday came down overwhelmingly against a comprehensive overhaul. Somebody said that's a dirty word, comprehensive. That's like French and gay and it reeks of amnesty. Pomeranian said that, the representative.
I don't think that's his name.
Rottweiler? Retriever? Labrador. Pardon me. I made a mistake. of the nation's immigration law, putting in jeopardy the future of sweeping legislation. The boner warned about the steep price of inaction, telling House Republicans that they would be in a weaker political position against a bipartisan Senate coalition and President Obama if they did nothing to answer the immigration measure that was just passed by the Senate. Senator John McCain talking about the very same thing.
Our message to our colleagues in the House is we are ready to negotiate, we are ready to talk, we are ready to sit down with you and negotiate and bring this issue to a conclusion that we all agree has to be addressed.
And the House, as a body, said, Grampy, pull our finger. Here's what you get. Bottom line was clear. The Republican-controlled House does not plan to take up anything resembling the Senate bill. The Republicans met just hours after former President George W. Bush added his voice to the immigration debate. His speech, a reminder to Republicans that he had long believed necessary to overhaul the system in a way much as the Senate bill outlined. This is where we've come to. They're not even George Bush's party. Not my dad, Mike Goldwater, Reagan, Eisenhower. Forget all that. Not even George Bush's party anymore. Chuck Schumer yesterday.
To say that this is just like the president's health care bill, nothing could be further from the truth. This is just what America wants us to do. Work together in a bipartisan way to move forward.
Yeah. And we were talking yesterday about Marco.
Rubio.
Right. He's getting the bejesus teabagged out of him.
Yeah. It's hysterical to watch.
Yeah, Marco Rubio being spurned by original Tea Party supporters over immigration. One of them said, the feedback I've received is that people are extremely upset with Marco. Disappointed.
Disappointed!
Right. Tea Party members who were active with us and helped get Marco elected, several have said they're no longer going to support him. I mean, this is where we've come. And that's just the Senate version. Okay. He specifically said he wanted to enforce the borders and have a wall and make immigration something that you have to earn, and that he wasn't going to support amnesty. There it is, the A word. Although Tea Party supporters alone did not elect Rubio, their early advocacy for him, remember, against Charlie Crist, gave Rubio a crucial momentum in that race. And then the Tea Party guy said, then he turns around and supports amnesty. He might as well switch parties right now. He's done. He's not going to make it past Prince primary as a senator, let alone president. He's in for a big surprise.
Hmm.
However, while Rubio may have hurt himself at home with local supporters, latest polling shows his role in immigration reform has transformed his fortune with national Latino voters almost overnight. He now dominates the potential 2016 GOP presidential field among Latinos, well ahead of, you know, the entire pack. The same poll, though, shows Hillary Clinton taking nearly two-thirds Latino vote against any Republican if she wants. Oh, dear. Oh, Marco.
Ay, caramba.
Ay, caramba. Exactly.
Lynn, ay, Dios mío.
Hello, Lynn in Chicago. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Lynn.
Hi.
Hi, go ahead.
Well, nice to get through. I want to say hi to the guys, too.
Hello.
Hello. Hi. I'm going to tell you now that all you do is make me laugh. Aww. And I think I laugh through the whole show. It's so great.
It's not all we do. I do, for instance, a lot of drinking after I leave here.
Oh, well, yeah, that too. Okay.
Chris goes and lifts an entire gym.
What I wanted to talk about was that gentleman who called, I think his name was Eric, and it was about the jury for the Trayvon Martin jury,
right.
And they were all women,
right.
And five of them were white and one was Hispanic, he said.
Right.
But he neglected to say five of them are mothers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I'm a mother. I'm not from the South. I don't know anything about the South other than I don't want to go there. But I'm from the North, and I, as a mother, that to me is way more important than whatever color Trayvon Martin was. You have this huge man who has a gun, and he have a 17-year-old boy. I'm the mother of two sons, so
right.
I could never say, oh, well, he's a black kid, so, you know, he's a child.
Right. Well,
and I don't watch, go ahead.
You can tell that's why they put Zimmerman's mother on the stand, too. Well, that's my Georgie screaming.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That didn't sway me at all, because I tried not to watch the trial, but I will tell you, it's on every channel.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I know
it's not like the Jodius Arias trial. You didn't have to watch that.
Yeah, there's not
only on one
right.
station.
There's not a single news channel that you can watch actual news on. They all have gavel-to-gavel coverage of the Zimmerman trial.
Yeah.
And there's a whole lot of other stuff going on.
And
even
if you're watching something else, it's there in a little window in the lower right-hand corner, so you can't look away.
But I think, Lynn, it's because of what we were saying. It's that typical thing. It's all those factors that you know, that were in the OJ case. There's race. There's all of this stuff that I think is, you know, what's making it compelling for people, I guess.
Really?
Well, I mean, it's a good, you know, it's
was a lot more compelling.
Yeah,
actually,
yeah.
And I didn't even watch that trial.
Yeah,
because what she did to Jason Alexander, I think is I just watched the live.
Jason
show.
Alexander?
No, not Jason Alexander. No, that would be
What's
horrible.
His name? Justin Al? What was
right.
his name?
I can't remember.
That was two trials ago.
Yeah.
No,
wasn't it Jason?
Travis, wasn't it? No.
Travis. Yeah, Alexander. I'm sorry.
Right.
What she did to him was a whole lot. I mean, it was awful. They're both murdered. But the way she did it to this guy,
yeah.
I mean, come on, that was way more compelling to watch on TV.
Well, I think this I think this has gun stuff in it, the Stand Your Ground law. It has race. It's.
Oh, yeah, I forgot that.
Yeah.
It's not Stand Your Ground. Because I'm not from the South, so I don't know about those laws. Actually, from the North, we're not
where I'm from, no one I knew, no kid I grew up with, no family I went to visit ever had a gun.
Right.
There were no gun
racks. No, me too.
There was nothing. There was like, oh, look, come and look at my dad's gun.
Yeah, I know. No, me too. I wouldn't have had the first idea where to get a gun. I had a BB gun that shot, you know.
Around corners?
It was a hand-me-down from my brother. Right. It shot. It didn't shoot straight. Okay.
Should have told you something.
Maybe it gave me chromosomal gay damage. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show. Friday, everybody. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number toll-free from anywhere. Marcia Clark, prosecutor extraordinaire, coming up next hour to talk about the Zimmerman trial.
Mm-hmm.
And sexy liberal John Fugelsang for Fridays with Fugelsang. All right, lots going on in the, well, lots meaning nothing going on in the Congress as usual because House Republicans. Let's see. Oh, yes, a House approval of a scaled-back farm bill setting up what could be an even bigger fight over food stamps and the role of domestic food aid in the United States.
Wow.
DCCC Chairman Steve Israel joins us now. Good morning, Congressman.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. Thanks so much for joining us.
Happy to do it.
So let's talk about this latest. Let's start with the failure of the farm bill. And I'm not sure what the point is of going to work in the House these days. Are you? The House Republicans just seem dead set against passing anything, aren't they?
Oh, no, they love to pass things as long as it is on the far, far right of the extreme. You know, they love passing farm bills as long as farm bills don't fund nutritional assistance program for children and the elderly. They love passing immigration bills as long as immigration bills don't provide a path to citizenship. They only pass things in the House of Representatives that cater to their right-wing Tea Party base. And anything short of that is killed in the House of Representatives. These people have to go.
Well, yeah, Chairman, I was, you know, I've heard so many people talk about this, but I think the hardest thing is that they're not worried about running against Democrats. They're only worried about getting primaried from the right, right,
mm-hmm.
by a Tea Party person. And so that seems to be their only interest, right?
That's right. You're absolutely right. That's the unintended consequence of redistricting in 2010, is it nudged many Republican congressional districts from fairly moderate to more conservative. And so these Republican members of Congress wake up every morning not thinking about how you move America forward, but how you protect them, how they protect themselves from a primary from the right. Now, most of these Republicans are as far to the right as you can get. And if they're worried about a primary from the even further right, well, that explains why they are so relentlessly ideological and unwilling to compromise on any matter. It explains why the Farm Bill passed the way it did. It explains why they will not pass comprehensive immigration reform, despite the fact that 68 senators supported it and passed it, from John McCain on the right to Elizabeth Warren on the left. It explains why they wouldn't vote for a relief for natural disasters like Hurricane Sandy on the East Coast. It explains their ideological extremism.
Well, Chairman, you know, immigration, we were just saying this last hour, everybody thought after the unbelievable drubbing they took in the Latino vote that they would do it, if for no other reason, just for political expedience, not because it's the right thing to do. But now even that is looking in question. I know that Nancy Pelosi said yesterday, if it doesn't happen this year, it's unlikely it's going to happen in an election year.
Yeah, I agree with that. And the fact of the matter is that if you are a Republican running for president, you've made a political calculation that you've got to have immigration reform. Otherwise, you're going to lose 70% of the Latino vote. If you're a Republican running statewide as a senator or governor, you make the same calculation. But here's the sad fact. If you are a House member, you've made the calculation that you've got to cater to your base in a fairly small congressional district, and the vast majority of Republican members of Congress oppose immigration reform because they're concerned about a primary from their right. The fact, we did the numbers. I'm the chairman of the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee. My job is to win seats for Democrats and get the majority so that we can continue to fight for the middle class. And we've done an analysis, Stephanie, and the analysis is that there are only about 23 Republican districts in the entire United States Congress that have an incumbent who could be persuaded to vote for comprehensive immigration reform. All of the other Republican districts will it would be difficult for them to vote for immigration reform, either because their ideology doesn't permit them to or because a Republican primary won't permit them to.
Right. Well, I mean, and speaking of the hard numbers, you know, we have this report showing it creates jobs, right? You know, lowers the deficit. I mean, there are all these stated Republican goals. I mean, Nancy Pelosi said, you know, went on to describe support for the immigration reform among traditionally conservative groups, referring to law enforcement, the business community, and Bible folks. It's the group Bibles,
right.
Badges, and Business Commission, right? That all of those groups are for this bill, want to get this done. And
well,
you know, go ahead. Sorry.
It is immigration reform is the right thing to do. It is the smart thing to do. But putting the words, the correct thing to do and smart thing to do in the vernacular of the Republican caucus, just doesn't work these days. They don't operate based on what is the right thing to do or what is the smart thing to do. They operate based on their political survival and a right-wing extremist ideology.
So where do we go next, Chairman, on immigration, do you think? Because, I mean, obviously what's coming out now is they're saying they're not doing anything vaguely resembling the Senate bill, but they're talking about doing it in small, I guess, smaller, more ineffective bits. Is that what they're thinking now? A lot of smaller bills?
They have rejected the bipartisan compromise that 68 senators passed. They have rejected what a majority of Americans believe. The majority of Americans want comprehensive compromise on immigration. They've rejected what President Bush supports, comprehensive compromise. And so what I think they've decided to do, and they don't exactly invite me to their strategic meetings, but what I think
a grave error on their part.
Right.
Yeah. is break this up into little pieces and have it die 1,000 deaths, and that would be really unfortunate. Our position as Democrats is this: we want a solution, and we want a compromise that does secure our borders, but at the same time provides a path to citizenship for those who came here. And if we can get it with one comprehensive bill, fine. If we can get there by having the Republicans break it up into different pieces and finally put it all back together at the end of the day, we'll respect that too. Mm-hmm. Let's just get this solved.
Well, we've been talking about the Affordable Care Act today because we were saying that I don't feel like we've ever exactly been where we are politically, where you have a law that is passed by democratically elected, government.
Yeah.
You have it is affirmed by a conservative Supreme Court justice and Supreme Court. And here we have, the Koch brothers running ads against the Affordable Care Act. They just never stop campaigning, right?
They are on a 24/7 perpetual campaign. Their ideology and their extremism is a full-time operation. They still don't accept the fact that Barack Obama was elected in 2008, and they don't accept that he was reelected in 2012.
Well, but in terms of, again, when you vote to repeal a law that's been, 37 times, I mean, I was just citing a piece in the Daily Beast. I don't know if you saw it, but they're terrified that Obamacare is working.
Yeah.
And, and again, we have provable numbers on a lot of that's
right.
Just terrified.
So they're all about tearing it down. So despite the fact that, that the law should be allowed to work and it was passed, and President Obama was reelected on the Affordable Care Act, they're going to continue to spend time on nonsense. If you're a college student and you have a Stafford loan, your college interest rate doubled. If you're a defense worker, there are 600,000 defense workers in America who started furloughs last week. And what are they going to do next week? They are going to have the 38th repeal of the Affordable Care Act when it stands no chance of passing the Senate or getting signed by the President. Instead of trying to repeal 38 times a law that is on the books, stop the furloughs, reduce college interest rates for students, start investing in the middle class and moving this country forward.
Chairman Israel, I know it's the Senate, but I have to ask you, because obviously that's the other big thing, is about the nuclear option, about filibuster reform. And I know Harry Reid's going to be on Meet the Press this weekend talking about it. And I love that Mitch McConnell said, that's, not how democracy works. It's like, the way it's working now is not the way democracy
exactly.
has ever worked either. Like,
democracy is paralysis.
and again, that is just provably, we have never, Chuck Hagel is the first time in history. I mean, it is literally, again, on these appointments, this is what happens. Win the White House, and then you can appoint your own White House staff. But we've had people obstruct people trying to appoint White House staff. We're not even talking about legislation, right?
That's exactly right. And we're not even talking about judges. We're talking about all appointments. So I have, I'm a member of the House of Representatives. I'm not a senator, but boy, am I rooting for Harry Reid to, to stop this nonsense and end the gridlock and the paralysis.
Yep, I am too, and I'm a big such a geek that I'm already look forward to meet the press like nobody's business, and now I'm I just can't wait. All right, Chairman Steve Israel of the DCCC, thanks so much for taking time for us.
Thank you so much.
All right, thanks Steve. Yeah, I'm snorting and geeking out all over the place. Oh, now, because this time he's working with Senator Merkley, you know?
Yeah.
Because I think he, again, took one more time last time and trusted the Republicans to keep their word, mm-hmm. and they didn't. It was very tense yesterday.
Well,
crackling sexual tension between Harry Reid and Mitch McConnell.
Yes.
The floor yesterday.
Well, it's going to be both McConnell and Reid on Meet the Press, I believe.
Yes.
You complete me.
Yes,
oh,
yes.
Irma Gerd.
There's room in my shell for two.
I complete you.
All right. David in Chicago, real quick, on the Zimmerman trial. Hello, David.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hi.
I'm a little disappointed in the call before the news break, and I'm more shocked that you would co-sign that call.
What are you talking about?
Because the woman on the call said she had tried not to watch the trial, but she had clearly made up her mind on how it should come out. And I, as a lawyer, I really think that we should listen to the evidence before we make up our minds.
Well,
yes.
I've watched a lot of it. Why? What's...
No, the woman that called
said she
tried not to watch the trial.
Right.
And that, but she had clearly already made up her mind. And
yeah.
You hear that from everybody. They're making this decision without, in a vacuum, without listening to the trial, without listening
David,
to
I think
the
you
evidence.
Can read, I mean, certainly a lot of people don't have time to watch the whole trial, but you can read a lot of the, synopsis and what's happened and what the evidence is, can't you?
She didn't say that she had done that.
Okay.
She just said she had... I mean, so why can't we listen to the evidence? Why can't we watch the trial and see what
Listen,
really happened?
I needed to watch Sharknado,
exactly.
And I read the synopsis of the trial. I don't need to watch the whole thing.
But
we're not in the jury room, so, you know, we don't have to watch every second of it.
Yeah, and you're not the boss of me.
Well, no, I'm certainly not, but I think we should have a more informed opinion.
Okay.
Well, what is your opinion? And how is ours not informed?
My opinion is that the state has failed to present a convincing case, and that we really don't know what happened, and so to subscribe to any to guilt or innocence really is probably not supported either way. And I think that we have to go with the evidence that the state did not make their case.
How did they not make their case?
We do know who had the gun.
Yeah.
You're right, but he had the gun in self-defense. I mean, obviously, if he had the gun,
he followed the kid. What do you mean? Like, how is that self-defense?
The kid followed him as well.
How do you know that?
Because of eyewitness testimony. That's why I watched the trial.
Who saw
Nobody
him?
Nobody said Trayvon was
who
following
saw him.
Who
saw him follow Zimmerman?
There were people that saw a witness testified that he saw Trayvon Martin approaching George Zimmerman.
Wait, probably to say, why are you following me? It's what the testimony was.
And in a threatening way, perhaps. I don't know. That's
right, in a threatening
a
way. Sure. Why are you following me, threatening me with a gun?
He wasn't threatening with a gun. The gun was concealed.
Okay. All right. 18 minutes after the hour.
Didn't he know he's black? Didn't you notice? What's
with
wrong
a hoodie?
He had a hoodie on.
And Skittles.
He had a hoodie.
Right.
What could George have done? He had a hoodie.
18 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
There's a tea party in her pants, and you're invited. Call now, 1-800-STEP-12. Stephanie Miller.
Come on, ride it, get it. Ride it, ride me, do it. 23 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number toll free from anywhere. Oh, quick, we have some actual news. Janet Napolitano has resigned to head the University of California.
Yep.
Janet Napolitano, Secretary of the Department of Homeland Security, will step down from her post later this summer to lead the University of California. Oh, not see, I almost... shoved my alma mater in there.
Yeah.
Not Southern California.
Not part of the same system.
Not the University
not
of
the
Spoiled
UC
Children.
System.
No. Yeah.
It's for rich folk.
Oh. All right. 1-800.
And for film students.
Right. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Also.
So is UCLA.
Sources confirm Virginia Governor Bob Transvaginal Probe McDonald negotiating resignation. What now?
Why?
Multiple sources in Richmond's legal community confirmed, we'll see if it's true, by state and federal prosecutors turned up what they feel is sufficient evidence to charge Virginia Governor Bob McDonnell and his wife Maureen with one or more felonies in consequence. As a consequence, McDonnell is attempting to negotiate his resignation in exchange for no prosecution.
Hmm.
Yeah, it's Blingazi. Because there's a lot of bling, watches and things,
yes.
Taxpayer money.
Imagine that, another Republican getting caught red-handed.
Tommy writes, Governor McDonald should not be allowed to resign before the women of Virginia get to do a full body cavity search. to see what other bling he's got up there in those cavities. I'm sleepy. Okay, let's go to Kim in Modesto. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Kim.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
You're sleepy, so am I.
Okay.
You are so eye candy. You and the guys are just unbelievable.
Thanks.
But
okay, go ahead.
I just wanted to save y'all's butt on the previous caller, that supposed lawyer who supposedly has been watching the trial.
Right.
Obviously, he hasn't, because Janelle speaks three languages, and yet they make fun of her because she writes cursive. He gets out of the truck when they tell him not to, and he has a chambered round in his gun. He took the gun, he chambered the round, he took the cartridge out, put another bullet in, put that back into the gun. I don't think the gun was behind his back. I think it was in his hand.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, that's...
But how else could he get it from behind his back in the position that he was supposed to be in?
Right, Kim, and this quote-unquote lawyer says, it was concealed. It was. How does he know that?
Right.
Except that that's what Zimmerman said.
Yeah, Zimmerman pointed to the back, but if you notice the trial, I call him the snapping bulldog, mayor, the tall guy with the big funny teeth.
Right.
He keeps pointing to the gun in the front of his pants. But yet when Zimmerman did the little reenactment, it was in the back of his pants.
And a lot of his story doesn't make sense. If he's saying Trayvon Martin was on top of him, you know, with his knees, like how does he get his gun from behind the back of his pants?
Yeah, right.
You know?
Unless his arms are the size of octopuses.
Right. Exactly.
Sharktopus.
Or orangutan.
Sharktopus.
Maybe he's a sharktopus.
That's an actual sci-fi movie. Sharktopusnado.
Somebody is already looking forward to Sharknado, the sequel.
Yes, the Sharkening.
The Sharkening.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're not finished.
Sharknado 2, Electric Boogaloo.
Eileen and Joyzy, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Eileen.
Hi, good morning, Stephanie.
Hi.
How are you? I want to talk about Zimmerman and Sharknado. So which do you want to talk about first?
Sharknado, of course.
Okay, everybody should go out and get a chainsaw to be prepared.
For the Sharknado?
Is that how you defend yourself against a shark flying out of
the
sky?
Take it, and so you can cut yourself out of the tail of a shark and bring a friend.
Okay. And a friend of mine says that the National Weather Service would be surprised to find out that you can kill a tornado by dropping a propane tank bomb.
I know.
Yeah.
I thought that was marvelous.
Well, I'm prepared because I have some outdoor heaters, so I'm just going to lob my propane cylinders in the middle of the next storm.
In the middle of the next sharknado that attacks L.A.?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, good thing I live on the other shore. So
yes.
Can I quickly mention one thing about Zimmerman?
Yes, please.
They made him appear that he was so weak and such a mild person that why would he go after a person that he suspected was a criminal if he was such a mild, meek person unless he knew that he had the gun, that he was going to kill somebody or could kill somebody?
Yeah.
Why would somebody as mild and small as Zimmerman go after this big, strapping person?
Right.
Nobody in their right mind would do that.
Yeah, because he was a cop wannabe.
Mm-hmm.
Brett in Louisiana, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Brett.
Good morning.
Good morning.
A couple of quick things. Number one, in a self-defense situation, you don't have much time to react, and I don't know if he acted in self-defense or not, but
You know, I was once in that situation.
Yeah, that's not a lot of time to react when you call the police and they told you to stay in your car and then you follow someone. That's a
right.
Yeah.
Right. I'm talking about what happened after that. But, you know,
right.
Actually, I was in a situation like that, and the only thing that saved me was a video camera, and I had people speculating on the other side of the issue.
Oh, I need to hear happened. More details on this, Brett. Hang on. I need to hear more about that. Okay, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
You know, I'm kind of a comedy snob, and
Stephanie Miller
does make me laugh.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 34 minutes after the hour. Oh, Scott reminds us that the Sharknado sequel is called She Tsunami.
Ah, She Tsunami.
It's a storm of Shih Tzus.
Yes.
Falling out of the sky. Okay, let's go back to Brent and Louise.
When the Shih Tzus hit the fan.
Right? Brent in Louisiana, you're on the Stephanie Miller
Show.
That's
the sequel.
Hi, Brad. Go ahead. Go ahead. You were saying you were talking about the Zimmerman case, and you were in a similar situation. How?
When I was living in Oregon, this guy was drunk and tried to pick a fight with an old man, and I just kind of stepped in between to see if I could calm the situation down. And the old man ended up leaving, and shortly thereafter, the guy started threatening me. And I told my wife to pay the tab and let's just go. I was going to go get the car. When I walked outside, he followed me, and as soon as I got outside, I heard the door open. I turned around, and it was him, and he told me he was going to kick my ass. He took a swing at me. I blocked his punch. I hit him one time. He was drunk. I was sober, but his head hit a curb, and he was on in ICU. I don't know the exact extent of his injuries for about 4 weeks, and I was charged with a felony crime, but luckily the owner of the establishment called me up later, had a video camera outside, and we were able to get that to the district attorney, and they dismissed the charges. But I was looking at some serious prison time, and the district attorney would not allow any evidence whatsoever about this guy's violent history and being kicked out of numerous bars and other places. And, you know, it cost me a fortune. It cost me almost $8,000 in attorney fees and 6 months of wondering whether I'd going to go to prison.
Right. But, Brett, how is that the same as the Zimmerman case?
Oh, I'm not saying it's the same. I'm just saying when something like that happens and you're being attacked, you've got a very short amount of time to react. And that's what the law says. Does the person that fears their life is in danger, do they fear it? Not does somebody else fear it, but do they fear it? And that's a very tricky situation, and none of us knows exactly what transpired. Now, he made a lot of bad decisions, but it wasn't illegal for him to get out of his truck to follow the guy. It's not illegal. Now, what happened after that? He may have been just an outright murderer.
Okay, Brett, how is that not profiling someone? How is that not stalking? I mean, that's you looking for trouble. Your situation, you were not looking for trouble.
Right.
You know what I mean? This is a guy that is going to pick a fight.
He may have went to pick a fight, but that's speculation, just like he may have been going just to keep an eye on the guy until the police got there. We don't know that. Nobody knows, and that's the sad thing about this case. We got two families here that have been affected by this, and it's just the whole damn thing's a tragedy. And if he had stayed in his truck, this wouldn't have happened.
That's right.
And he was
right.
Told by the police not to.
Yeah.
No,
exactly.
Him.
Diane in Jersey on Zimmerman. Hello, Diane.
Good morning from the Garden State to Stephanie and the guys. How are you?
Good. Go ahead.
Okay. I just want to first tell you that I'm 61 years old. I've been watching for a few months, and I now also wear a peace necklace every day. So you're spreading peace. And about the Zimmerman trial, I remember the videotape. When the police brought him in for questioning, Zimmerman, I don't remember him holding his head or anything. And these injuries that I see in the pictures, that to me, I'm not a doctor and I don't play one on TV, but they don't look like somebody that gets hit into concrete. They look kind of like I don't want to say this, but self-inflicted, like little razor blades.
They're pretty superficial. Yeah.
And Diane, I also heard, did you hear that? I mean, I'm not obviously a gun expert, but somebody was saying that kickback from the gun could have, if he's at that close range, the kickback from the gun could have caused that one facial injury.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just a terrible, terrible situation. Thank you for taking my call.
Yep, absolutely. Kevin in D.C., you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Kev.
Hey, Sharknado rules.
Hello.
Sharknado rules.
Hello.
Good morning, lovely Stephanie.
Hello.
You always a bomb in troubled times. And I have delayed commenting on the Zimmerman trial because for obvious reasons it hit homes and it angers me at some time that I know that even liberal Caucasians sometimes get nervous with that. So I've tried to do when I was a little bit more calm. But the recent calls today just showed me something that, in general, a section of this country sees black males as a threat. So, they can't quite see it as human. To me, this is an obvious thing of a child that, you've made all the points today, but a section of this country just can't see it. If it was reversed, if this was a black man that followed and stalked a white kid.
That's right.
It wouldn't even be. I doubt the man would even have made it to jail. They probably would have shot him, and that may be hyperbole. But the bottom line is, you can't see this child. And I've experienced in my youth. I have been. You can probably have a lot of your black male listeners tell you all their war stories about being stopped, about being suspected of when doing nothing wrong. I've been the nader of my thing. Me and my brother would sit in front of my house. And we had the cops called on us because it was sinister, for two black men in a nice car to be sitting and talking.
Yep.
Well,
listen, I do my part. You know that this liberal Caucasian is not only not scared of black men, but runs into their arms.
And into their mouths.
At the sexy liberal show in D.C. You knew something was wrong when this pretty little white woman ran into a black man's arms.
That line cracks me up because I think of not only you, but other incidents, and I'm like, well, not all the time, brother.
We're doing our part, brother. All right. Let's go to Noel in Los Angeles. Hey, Noel.
Hey, Steph. Listen, I haven't been watching this trial nearly as closely as probably most of the people in this country, but the times that I have been watching, I look at George Zimmerman, and I think to myself, wait a minute. If I were in his shoes, sitting in that chair in that courtroom, knowing what I could be subjected to, I'd be crying, vomiting, urinating, defecating, all over. He looks too cool. This man looks like he just had a happy meal.
Yeah.
Looks like he's had several.
Well, I think, honestly, one of the most damaging things is, them playing that clip of Hannity when he said, if you had it to do over, would you do anything different? He's like, no.
Nah.
No. I mean, really?
No,
there
yeah,
is. No regret. No nothing. Right?
He's too smug. He's full of lies. Here's another thing. I don't understand. In this country, why can't we do two things at once? Can we not have a George Zimmerman trial and still get immigration reform passed and still get hungry people fed through a farm bill that is a big joke? We have too many things going on in this country, but why do we tend to be so fickle and just hone in on something like this all the time, 24/7? I know it's important, but we got other issues, too, to solve in this country.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep, absolutely. By the way, Julie, the one-time half-assed trial lawyer of the Stephanie Miller Show,
okay,
says, Mama, my opinion, guilty, she talks about that Hannity thing near the end of his closing. The prosecutor played an excerpt of Hannity asking Zimmerman, if you knew then all you know now, looking back, would you do anything different? Zimmerman said, nope.
No.
Wouldn't change a thing. The prosecutor said something like, I don't need to say anything about that. The defendant regrets nothing, has learned nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Nicely done, sir. Nicely done. Also, she says the defense was too cute by half, almost condescending, too much money, overly technical and legalistic, failed, in my opinion, to provide an explanation for Zimmerman's conduct as a juror, especially a female. Five of the mothers could accept and say, sure, I can see how I might do that if I was in his shoes. So we'll see. I mean, I wonder how soon we're going to get a verdict, because the closing...
It depends on how long the jury takes to deliberate. You really can't tell.
Let's go to Jason in D.C. Hey, Jason, welcome.
Hey, guys. I just wanted to say that I'm not on the jury. I was not a witness, and I have really no idea what the outcome's going to be. I think a lot of this, the suppositions that we make here, remember, that's the reason we have faith in the court systems. So I'm not going to make a judgment as to really what took place there. I just hope that through this, no matter what the verdict is, we don't resolve this by resorting to violence in any way, shape, or form, which would undermine the under things that we're doing here. I look at Trayvon and I think, like everybody else has been saying, hey, that looks like a good friend of mine, a son of mine or whatever. And then I remember at this moment that our own president, through his drone policies, is responsible for the deaths of hundreds of women and children because of these drone strikes, where only one high value target is responsible for 49 innocent people getting killed. And
so you're comparing the Trayvon killing to The drone policy?
No, what I'm saying is, that the proportion, if we value life itself, then we have to take an honest judgment as to what the policies we're doing, not just in a local level, but on a worldly level also.
Mm-hmm.
Because our own president is responsible for women and children being killed who are innocent.
Okay, I understand what you're saying, but, you know, honestly, is this the first president? I mean, you know,
no,
let's compare him to George
Bush.
Within
our policy. I'm not trying to change the subject to whoever it is. All of the administrations themselves, if we're not messing in other parts of the world, then there would be women and children alive today who might not want to be.
So what would you,
do?
What would you do? Would you not use drones at all? If you were president, would you not use drones at all?
I would not be using drones if it involves possibly killing an innocent
person.
Of course,
it's going to possibly. I mean, you know, George Bush took out an entire block in Baghdad trying to get Saddam Hussein. You know,
that was wrong
as well.
Yeah, but that doesn't make this any less wrong.
So,
I mean, and then there's blowback from these sort of things.
I agree with the caller.
Yep.
So what would you do if you were president? You wouldn't use drones at all? I mean, how could you say that? Okay, I'm not going to use drones at all if there's ever a chance it's going to kill even one civilian. I mean, how would you?
You're turning people against America by killing civilians.
So what would you do? Both of you were president. There'd be no drones.
I'm not president, and I'm not being paid to make these tough decisions.
Thank God.
But you know, even if we killed all of these bad guys, we're creating more.
Right.
People are going to bury their dead, and we kill them. Or the first responders trying to give first aid to people.
If another country did that to America,
that would be terrorism.
That would be terrorism.
When did you turn against the drone program? Did this just happen this morning?
No.
It's different when Daddy does it.
So I'm sorry.
I hate both of you equally now. Jay Allison in Atlanta, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Jay Allison.
Oh, God, that was one of the Fox zombies calling there talking to you guys.
Uh-oh.
How are you doing this
morning? Hello, I'm all right. Thank God.
Well, anyway, let's clear the mud that he was just throwing a while ago away. I wanted to say about this, make a quick reference to the Zimmerman trial and say that the kid weighed only 126 pounds compared to Zimmerman's girth.
Well, Zimmerman was much thinner back then.
Yeah.
He's gained like 100-some plus pounds since then.
And this kid, some of these people that are complaining against the prosecuting attorney, they're not looking at the fact that this was a kid and he had no weapon, and the fact that he's also scared because there are sexual predators out there. Remember, there was three girls just a couple of months ago released from a house that they were held in for years, and they're adults, and they were held against their will. They went from teens to adults. And why aren't these people looking at that this kid was alone and by himself walking from a store? Come on, give him a break.
Zimmerman was told not to pursue him, and he did anyway.
Yep. All right, 46.
And he referred to him as one of the so-called effing punks that had been breaking in.
Yes.
So he was obviously profiling him.
Yep.
Yeah, exactly.
So send in a drone and kill him.
Right.
Yes.
Exactly.
And everyone
in
the whole housing complex.
That's right.
Just to make sure that we get all the bad guys.
Did you feel sideswiped there, Stephanie, for a second?
Oh, I hate both of you so
much. My God.
40. You know what? I wish I had a Sharknado right now that I could
hurl at us.
Right. 46.
More effective than a drone.
Or a sheet tsunami.
46 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
It even vibrates like real.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Yeah, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. So hot, it'll melt your popsicle or whatever. 51 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Hey, looky here. I see a picture. Hillary's got presidential hair.
Yeah, there we go.
Yeah. Going to need to read the tea leaves. I can see the hair. Yep. Come on, that's presidential hair. Am I right?
Uh-huh. It is.
Yep. She's going. What? She's going.
A chick president? What?
I think I want to have a black president.
Well, wait. That happened.
All right. Where am I here? Let's see. Is Rick in Illinois? You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Rick.
Good morning. I've been on a jury. It was a burglary case. And jurors, you know, it's a strange lot. You listen to a long, drawn-out process, and lawyers are doing their lawyer thing. And, you know, you something takes your interest during the case that you focus on as jurors. And I can't help but think what this hinges on is the fact that a 911 operator who works for the police department says, okay, we've got it, stop pursuing him, and then he pursues him. And I just can't. Can't help to think that. I mean, you know, that makes him, in my mind, guilty of at least manslaughter.
Right.
You know, I mean, I don't really have a dog in this hunt. I'm not Hispanic. I'm not black. But I am an American that wants justice. And I just think that you know, you look at the actions. You know, you hear that preponderance of evidence stuff, but you think, wait a minute, there's actuality here. There's actual a thing that happened in real life.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And was told to stop. He didn't stop. And just like the caller that said, you know, he got in a fist fight and the guy stuck his head on the rock or whatever. If you call the police and say, hey, there's a drunk guy beating up an old guy in the parking lot, and the police say, okay, we're on it, you know, don't intervene or, you know, throw water on him or something. But if you go out there and you accidentally kill somebody by pushing them against the wall and you know, they hit their head on a spigot or something, you're disobeyed the police department and you're putting yourself in harm.
Yep.
And Jerryman put himself, he killed a person. You know, he killed a person. And he put himself in a predicament where
yeah.
he's at now. We didn't
and, and that's why I think that Hannity interview is so damning. It's
yeah.
like, what? Who says, oh, if you hadn't do over, would you do anything different? No.
Yeah.
There's an
no.
unarmed, innocent teenager that's dead? Really?
Yeah, I'd kill him.
You
again.
Wouldn't go,
sure.
yeah, maybe I should have stayed in my car? Wow. All right, speaking of fights. Harry Reid and Senator Mitch McConnell yesterday on the
yeah. I'm sorry, I had to see
on the Senate
face.
Floor.
Oh.
We might be going nuclear.
Oh.
He could use either the nuclear option or a Sharknado, is what I'm told.
I root for the Sharknado.
Constitutionally,
I think he should use a nuclear option.
Senator Mitch,
using a Sharknado would get better ratings for C-SPAN.
Right?
Sure.
Exactly.
He believes that advise and consent means sit down and shut up. So this is really a sad, sad day for the United States Senate. And if we don't pull back from the brink here, my friend, the majority leader, is going to be remembered as the worst leader of the Senate ever.
My friend.
The leader of the Senate who fundamentally changed the body.
I promise a turtle-nado.
But they're snapping turtles.
I'm going to spend
so they're a little more fearsome.
All my relatives from the Galapagos. Okay, Senator Harry Reid.
I don't want him to feel sorry for the Senate, certainly not for me, and I'm going to continue to try to speak in a tone that is appropriate.
Yes.
His name-calling, he follows, I hope not, the demagogic theory that the more you say something, if it's false, people start believing it.
The big lie theory.
Mm-hmm. Reid raised the possibility of mid-session rules change. Yes, yes, yes. Dubbed the nuclear option, which would prevent Republicans from filibustering White House nominees to agency and cabinet positions.
That's just not fair. My friend is an a-hole.
It could be said.
Schaefer in the chat room said comedy became comedy.
It could be said that Senator McConnell has broken his word. That certainly could be said, Reid said.
It certainly could be said, but not by me. I'm not going to go that far.
Uh-uh. What could be said is...
You're a lying sack of crap.
Turtle crap. An agreement is a two-way street. Reid will appear on Meet the Press, which I'm just so excited about, I can't believe it, to discuss the nuclear option filibuster reform. And this time, as I was saying, he's working with Senator Merkley, our good mm-hmm. friend from the great state of Oregon, because I think, you know, this time he realizes I don't think he has any choice. Mitch McConnell has not kept his word. One key difference this time is the rules change would not apply to judicial nominees. Let's see. The president was elected, goes the argument, has the right to choose his own staff free of a filibuster. If Republicans want to pick the White House staff, they should win an election and occupy the White House, the argument goes. And a good one, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I've gotten every impression that Reid and leadership are determined this time to do it, said one aide who was advocating for the reform. McConnell's filibuster of Chuck Hagel for Secretary of Defense was the first ever in the history of our republic, Reid said. The obstruction has continued at every level and through creative new methods. And so McDonnell, because he's so helpful, he has been warning nuclear action will come back to haunt Democrats, and they were once again in the minority on the Senate floor. He said the hard left was pushing reform, adding that they're willing to do permanent, irreversible damage to this institution.
Sure.
Yeah, like you haven't already. And it appears if they've convinced the majority leader to do their bidding, let me assure you this Pandora's box once opened will be utilized again and again by future majorities. Reid said he was not worried about that threat. He said, I don't care who's elected, whether it's Jeb Bush or Hillary Clinton or Joe Biden, that person shouldn't have to go through what we've gone through. Go, Harry. Go, Harry. It's your nuclear option birthday. Sam in Phoenix, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show on Zimmerman before we break here. Hello, Sam.
Hello.
Hi, go ahead.
Okay, first thing on the few things on the Zimmerman trial is that, one, he was obviously, told, well, obviously we heard the 911 call, and so already he's got his mind made up who this guy is. You know, he's a bad guy. Not that he did anything, or maybe doesn't even know this guy. Two, he was told not to follow him, but did so anyways. Three, confronted him. If he is, according to his MMA instructor, well, he wasn't a tough guy. He was soft. He was this. He was that. He was anything other. Of course, my question to MMA instructor,
brave.
How long has he been training in your gym?
Yeah, he's right. Brave because he had a gun. That's why he was so brave.
He must suck as an MMA trainer.
Marcia Clark next as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show. Clark, prosecutor extraordinaire, coming up this hour, the Stephanie Miller Show, brought to you by Wix. Friday? Oh,
tizzle,
nice!
Tizzle, sang, a sang. Tizzle, sang, tizzle, sang. He's so fine.
He is mine on Fridays. Hello, John Tiedelstein.
Free. Hello there. I lived in L.A. for 10 years. I know that commercial.
Yes.
Larry, you're killing me, Larry.
You're killing me, Larry.
Why are you doing this to me, Larry?
That's a local mattress chain that has that.
All right.
Yeah. Good morning, Miss Miller. I've missed you for so long.
Precious, I've missed you too. I'm sure you saw this being a New Yorker and in the New York Bureau presently. Elliot Spitzer has made the deadline to file thousands of petition signatures for his bid to revive his political career by running for New York City comptroller.
Indeed.
Our former current television colleague.
That would be 27,000 signatures, somewhat more than the few he was required.
Right. When are you running? When we're done with our current adventure.
When am I running? Well, let's see. I think the death penalty is bad and medical marijuana is good, so it looks like I'm never running.
Never. So never. Speaking of trials and things of this sort, what do you think is going to happen in the Zimmerman case?
Oh, has that begun? I had no idea.
There's been some coverage.
Uh-huh. Oh, sorry. Uh-huh. I've just been all about Sharknado. That's all we cover on Viewpoint.
I have no idea about a Zimmerman is on trial.
You know, it's really interesting. I didn't expect this to be the miniseries daytime event of the summer. And for me, in many ways, if he had been arrested that night, we would never have heard of Trayvon Martin. None of us would know anything about this, and it wouldn't be on TV. So in many ways to me, you know, I was at CNN last year when this happened, and I got to, like, meet all the players. And to me, the real story was that this guy didn't get arrested. And it was a few African-American radio stations, some progressive bloggers, and then eventually the media and liberals and conservatives together saying, hey, man, there needs to be an arrest and a trial here. You know, this guy should get a day in court, and the parents deserve that. So to me, the fact that he got tried is the real story, and the rest is just epilogue. I think there's a very good chance he's going to walk. It's kind of disgusting seeing how a bunch of Fox News viewers are defending a guy who disobeyed law enforcement instructions on the phone and who had previously been arrested for assaulting a cop. And you have to remind all of your Fox News friends this is who they're defending. It was great
watching. That's what I said. If you're a Second Amendment fan, John, can't you find a better hero, really?
Right, exactly. Well, they dropped Stand Your Ground. You know, they didn't even use it. I mean, that was the big argument. That was why we all talked about this a year ago, and they're not even using it as a defense. You know, the guy's a sad case, and, you know, I actually think that if he is acquitted, he may suffer a worse incarceration in his own life than prison.
Jack in New Jersey disagrees with us. Jack, hello, you're on with John. Hi, Jack.
Yeah, how are you doing today?
Good.
Couple of things. First of all, several years ago, I lived for 15 years in Pennsylvania. in a community very similar to the one that this whole incident occurred. Now,
Tropical?
I'm sorry?
The tropical part of New Jersey.
Tropical?
I don't understand what you're saying.
That's okay. Go on. It's
go ahead.
Okay, what
do you mean
to say
it's a gated community, a private gated community?
Yes, correct. Private gated community. And basically what has transpired, I mean, you know, now we don't really care anymore because everybody's house values went down. But real estate is your biggest investment. And people don't care anymore, you know, that and it gets burglarized, it gets vandalized, and whatever else. And
right.
People still want to protect their real estate.
Of course.
This is their biggest investment, you know. And what the guy was doing is, by the book, you know, you follow the guy. The policeman told him.
By the book for who? By the book for who? He didn't live there. He wasn't protecting his real estate. He wasn't protecting his own real estate, sir. And this young man wasn't breaking any laws.
He was part of the community guard.
No, he wasn't.
No, he wasn't. All right. No. All right. Okay.
Oh, Fox News didn't tell you that fact?
Okay. All right. Tommy in Palm Springs on the filibuster reform. Very, very exciting. Hi, Tommy.
Hi. I don't think Harry Reid's taking it far enough as far as, I mean, just letting him, you know, putting the stop on them from doing his cabinet positions. Yeah. They shouldn't be filibustering his cabinet positions or his agency positions. But you know what? They also look at all the judicial nominations that they are holding up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals.
Yeah. But when has Harry Reid taken it too far, sir?
No, he's not taking it far enough.
Yeah.
I mean.
Right. Do you think he should use a Sharknado, John, or a nuclear option?
I think it needs a Sharknado. He's got a Squirrel NATO.
Exactly.
Or Mitch McConnell or Turtle NATO.
No, it needs a Piranaconda.
Right.
There are.
Right.
No, it's a Piranha Cane, Chris. A Piranha Cane.
Okay. A Shih Tsunami is, you know, not far behind.
I love this country so much.
Sent me a list of 10 Sci-Fi Channel movies that are just as ridiculous as Sharknado.
Uh-huh.
It's not letting me scroll.
Okay.
Anonymous Rex. Don't know. Sharktopus.
Right.
That's a good one.
Piranaconda.
Mm-hmm.
Deep Shock. Dino Croc versus Super Gator. Mega Python versus Gatoroid.
Mm-hmm.
Dino Shark. They seem to love the sharks.
Dino Shark. All right.
Frankenfish, Jersey Shore Shark Attack, and
I should be angry
shark
about
frenzy.
My culture. I should be angry about my culture today, but I just love it. It's beautiful.
John Fugel saying your girlfriend, Elizabeth Warren.
Yes. Call me Lizzie.
A bipartisan group of four senators that includes Elizabeth Warren and John McCain introduced an updated version of Glass-Steagall. Did you hear about this?
Oh, yes, good. I did
Very
hear about
nice.
This.
Mm-hmm. Aimed at reining in risk in America's largest Wall Street banks, the legislation unlikely to be signed into law, of course, like every other good idea lately.
Right.
But underscores a deepening rift between the House and Senate over financial accountability. McCain, grumpy, making sense for a change,
what?
Said since core provisions of Glass-Steagall were repealed in 1999, shattering the wall dividing commercial banks and investment banks, a culture of dangerous greed and excessive risk-taking has taken root in the banking world. Big Wall Street institutions should be free
what?
To engage
Who are
in
you?
Trans-
to be done with John McCain.
Transactions with significant risk, but not with federally insured deposits.
Whoa, so John McCain's really not running for re-election. That's
He's
the
planning an Egyptian-style coup against the big banks.
Oh,
what
dear.
The hell is Whoa. Going on?
Oh, wow.
Your girlfriend said, despite the progress we've made since 2008, the biggest banks continue to threaten the economy. The four biggest banks are now 30% larger than they were just 5 years ago, and they've continued to engage in dangerous high-risk practices that once again put our economy at risk. Rock on, Elizabeth Warren. It ain't a man's
world. Isn't it great when, like, they elect someone and she does what she said she would do?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Great.
Fantastic.
Right?
Oh, I'm so I don't care who's running. She's my write-in. I'm voting for and she's my president.
I don't know. Hillary's got presidential hair.
She does. She does. And good for McCain, by the way. Like, really, really great to see him, you know, being a leader again. And actually, I mean, I don't know when being moral meant being a maverick.
That's going to change, though, tomorrow. So don't get used to it.
Yeah, don't
we'll
get
see how bad he wants to keep his job.
Mark in Illinois.
It's not the policy. It's not the policy.
You're on with John.
I'm probably going to get shouted down by you guys, but there's a lot of people speculating and putting up a lot of things that are not facts. There's two sides, the prosecution side the defendant's side and then what really happened. So three sure. sides. We'll sure. know what really happened. But the fact is, if Martin had not taken drugs to school or had not been suspended from school, if he had been a well-behaved kid, he would not have been on a 10-day suspension. He would not have been in that neighborhood. He'd probably...
Oh, for
wait
God's
a minute.
Sakes.
No,
really?
He was going
really?
To see his dad.
So he deserved to be
he
shot.
He deserved to lose his
hard.
Life because of that, because he had
I'm
some
not
marijuana.
Saying that, but I'm not saying he deserved to be killed, but I'm saying if he was behaving, he wouldn't have put himself in
Wait.
A situation.
He was
okay.
going to visit his father
Minister, that's
where he
a
lived.
Leap. That's a real...
He had a chance to shoot at him. He would have
right.
been safe. He would have
right.
been in school.
So it's
you
really
know
his
what a
fault.
Leap that is.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Oh, my
okay.
God.
You know, if...
He had it coming, clearly.
If President Reagan
he only had
run
himself
a more,
to blame.
If President Reagan had run on a more moral agenda, sir, he would have been walking out of a homeless shelter that day and not been shot by John Hinckley. So really, he's to blame because
yeah,
he made
exactly.
his choices.
So any kid that's ever been suspended or smoked a joint, John,
deserves to be shot.
Yeah, deserves to be shot through the heart.
Vigilante
clearly.
Whack job.
Right. Beanbag chair.
Wow.
Excuse me, Dana.
Well,
and
keep
Maryland.
On making. You know what, sir? Go to black churches and make that argument.
Yeah. Good morning, everybody.
Hi, Dana.
Hi, Dana.
Hi, good morning, John.
Good morning.
How are you?
She said in her flirtiest voice. Hi, John.
I'm so flirty. Elizabeth Warren, if she wants to be her girlfriend, she's going to have to get in line behind
me. Oh, my. Yeah, thank you, Dan. That's the sound
yeah,
of my day peaking
guy,
early.
That guy was an idiot, and nobody goes to school on Super Bowl Sunday. He was going to watch the game with his dad.
Right.
The NBA All-Star
he
game.
He was
yeah.
murdered, period.
Yep.
I mean, and I think he's going to walk.
I think he's going to get a manslaughter charge.
I think he's going to walk.
He's going to get manslaughter.
The judge throws out the jury's verdict, which is always a possibility. But, you know, he murdered this kid, period. And to me, I think Steph has said this too, once he said, don't get out of your car, don't follow him, to me that's open shut.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yep, exactly.
Is it not? I mean, don't get out, don't follow him, don't approach, whatever.
Exactly. Would you like
yeah,
to change
not...
back to your flirty voice to say goodbye to John now?
Oh, yes, oh. I would. I would. And I just, you know, so I think he's going to get off.
All right. Yeah. I have so awesome. Many friends like oh. that. They have the two voices. It's like talking to you normally.
Hi.
Hi, John.
I have to go on. I'm very good looking on the radio, so that's nice to hear. Thank you.
Bam, bam,
did Wendy
bam.
Williams talk to you like that yesterday?
No, Wendy Williams did not talk like that. She's a bit rougher.
Do you believe many meet and gropes I did with John Fugelsang, where a woman would be talking to me in a normal voice? Oh, I thought the show was really, hi,
Dan. You're confusing me with someone else. You're confusing me with our mutual rocker acquaintance.
Hi, yeah.
Folks, this is not true. This is all the hot women go all over Stephanie and all over Hal, and the wonderful damaged Catholics come to me.
Oh,
and they're hot to me, so I appreciate that.
Whatever. Okay. 18 minutes after the
I
hour.
I get their breadcrumbs, folks. Oh. I get their groupie breadcrumbs.
All right. It's False Humility Friday with John Fugelsang, everybody. Right back.
To be honest, I've never seen such dysfunction.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 22 minutes after the hour. Fridays with sexy liberal John Fugelsang in the New York Bureau. John, who's a new parent, of course. Well, new in the sense that he's how many months now?
16 months today, thank you.
16, okay.
When do you start using year, year and a half,
when
2 years?
20,
really?
20
I think
years old.
I think it's this lame thing that, like, lame parents do to hang on to the notion their baby's still a cute little baby and not a weird-looking two-year-old freaky midget thing. And I mean
son.
No offense to freaky midget things.
Right.
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
And that's a derogatory term. I take it back. But what I'm saying is I think people do it to hang on to the illusion they still have a cute baby, even though they don't. I have a beast. I have a 32-pound monster that eats a lot.
Right.
And poops
right.
a lot.
Right.
Oh, that's all it is.
Well, here's what you have to look forward to. Actually, no, your toddler is 2 months older. 14-month-old toddler buys a car on eBay by voila, playing with dad's phone.
Awesome.
Who
so
likes
cool.
the eBay app? Baby does! Baby does.
Baby's first eBay app.
Baby bought a 1962 Austin Healey when her father
wow. Whoa.
Stopped paying attention. Isn't that cute, John?
Please tell me that the dad had it open to this page
no.
and that the baby just clicked a button and that he didn't find this car on his own.
Only going to cost him $1 million.
And a couple of freaking Sharknadoes.
Yeah.
All right, this one just because I have to. Gawker brings us a story. Ohio man arrested for pool raft again.
Effing a pool raft?
Right.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yep. It's a summer of weird men having sex with inanimate objects, everybody.
Uh-huh.
That and Sharknadoes. That's how we'll remember this summer. The news broke that a bike is on the loose in Sweden, and now an Ohio man has been arrested for having sex with a rubber pool raft. A child in his neighborhood reporting seeing him having, quote-unquote, sexual relations with a rubber pool float.
Was it a cute pool float?
Pool float?
Was it dressed provocatively?
Are you probably asking for it?
He is asking for
just
it.
Just laying
you know
around
do.
There.
Bent
I
over
know
a,
you want it, pool float.
Bent
I know
over a
you
chaise
want
lounge.
It. You know, it's just... Inside every good pool float is a bad pool float, wanting you to pull it out and make it be naked in a lame video.
Uh-huh. This is the fifth time he has been arrested for allegedly...
Wow.
He's a well-known rafter.
The Robin Thicke of pool rafts.
Listen, there are blurred lines. Some pool floats want it, and some pool floats don't.
Look, it's not rapey, okay? It's fun to degrade a pool float once in a while. I respect pool floats most of the time. I always respect pool floats. Let me tell you, when I was growing up on the mean streets of Malibu with my millionaire dad, if Paul Anka had written the Facts of Life theme song, I'd be working in a Sbarro's right now. But instead, I get to pay women to find me. I pay pool floats to find me interesting.
You wouldn't have been blown up this so you're that tight.
My pool floats blow up giant Mylar balloons that say I have a big lung.
Bad floats. You know you want it. You're a bad float.
Inside every good float's a bad float.
When a lady in the street and a freak in the pool.
Right.
And then
exactly.
I pay Farrell to hang out with me.
Yeah.
I love this. This is his prior, apparently. He was arrested in 2011 at his home after he was seen engaging in sexual conduct with a pink inflatable swimming pool raft. The incident occurred in the alley behind his home. Oh, that is degrading.
The pool raft in the alley?
The witness, who was the owner of the raft, what's his raft? Reported
George Raft?
The suspect took the raft with him after being shouted at to stop. So he
eloped. You won't come between us.
He eloped with the raft.
Can I just get the physics of this clear? As soon as you put a hole in a raft to do it, it'll deflate.
Well, that's why you better hurry.
So it's just quickie.
You're not all concerned about satisfying the raft, are you?
No.
Just want to get in and
it's
out.
Not about
get
the raft's needs.
Before the raft completely deflates.
Exactly. I'm just trying to picture how this happens.
To you.
By the way,
he doesn't love
of,
that raft or who it really is.
Speaking of blurred lines, Robin Thicke, to critics who say blurred line condones rape, that's ridiculous. It's despicable.
Yeah. He should have just called the song No Means Yes, because that's essentially what he's saying for 3 minutes.
I think it's a catchy song.
It's a very catchy song.
The video's a little creepy.
You know what? The lyrics are pretty lame. It's a catchy song, but it's really lame lyrics.
So
is the
video
is lame.
My favorite part is when he blows smoke in the girl's face.
Oh, not when he says you're the hottest bitch in this club?
You know you want it.
You know you want it.
Cancer from secondhand smoke.
No Means Yes.
You're the hottest pool float in this club.
You know, it's like a funny thing happened on Robin Thicke's way to try to be Justin Timberlake. He turned into Tom Jones, and he's going to have 65-year-old women throwing their bloomers at him in Laughlin in 30 years. And that's exactly what he's accomplished with this video.
He said even very good girls have a little bad side. You just have to know how to pull it out of them.
Can I explain how evil that is, please?
Yes, please.
What he's saying is that women have no true agency over their own sexuality. Okay? What he's saying is that either you're a good girl or a bad girl, and you can't logically be a good woman who also enjoys her own sex life. There's lots of good girls, Robin Thicke, who really like sex. They just don't want it with you. You're lame.
That does not make me a bad girl.
I think it's
a girl with taste.
I think it's a fun song. It's just a little role play that he's doing. That's all.
It's a very fun song.
I think people are overthinking
it. Hold in the hay.
I went on CNN and said I was horribly offended by it, and then I immediately put it in my iPod.
Of course you did.
Because you know that's what you do.
Because you know I want it.
Yeah.
In between lame and evil is skeevy. And
it's skeevy.
It's skeevil. I'm sorry, but Chris, you have to agree. This guy actually paid a film crew to hang Mylar letter balloons that read Robin Thicke has a big.
That's really
in the video. Okay, now when you've done that, you've given up any claim to be a man. Paying a gangbanger to spray paint Johnny is awesome on the side of my house.
Actually, it was a typo. It was Robin Thicke is
a big.
It's old timey braggadocio.
Well, yeah, but
that's all it is. But people have been doing this for ages.
I know it is. And listen, a man trying to woo a woman with rhyme is nothing new in the annals of music or poetry. It's just lame.
Exactly. All right, Marcia Clark
balloons,
next Chris. As we continue Fridays of Doom thing on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Kids,
Stephanie Miller.
It was an extremely popular show with an extremely simple premise.
So simple it's not worth explaining.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. All right, 34 minutes, it's a Sharknado of nonsense. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Fridays with sexy liberal John Fugel saying, Marcia Clark joins us on the big show on Zimmerman Week. It's also Zimmerman Week in addition to Sharknado Week.
That's right.
Good morning, Marcia Clark.
Good morning, Steph. How are you?
Yeah, I can't believe you're here because you're on every channel ever. Every time I turn on TV, it's you.
It's all Clark all the time. Jeez, it's not safe to turn on your television, Steph.
You would think you have a fabulous new book out entitled Killer Ambition.
And, you know, it's kind of weird. Isn't it weird that you would think that? Because I do make them show the cover every time.
Exactly. Well, you know, you've been great on this the Zimmerman trial because it really, you know, it seems incredible to lay people. This seems like such an easy, an easy case, right? And yet I've heard people all over the place saying, oh, I think he's going to walk. What are you thinking? I mean, how do you feel about it as you watch today?
You know, this is like a deceptively easy case, but when it comes down to it, it's actually kind of hard because you have a fight witnessed by no one but the two involved and one is dead.
Yeah.
And so you only have the version from the person who's on trial who has every motive to fabricate or, as we call it, lie. So
yes. as is known in legal circles, lying.
Yes. or the term of art. So I don't... So it's hard, and what Zimmerman claims happened, to me there's a lot of evidence refuting it, or there's evidence refuting it that I find reliable, and then you have his statements that are all over the place mm-hmm. that also kind of fight with logic. To me, you put that all together, but you know what? I didn't immediately come to that conclusion. I sat and listened, watched both sides, and it kind of became a growing thing where I thought, okay, you know, this guy, he did not need to shoot this kid. He did not need to do that. But what the jury's going to do, well, we all know we can't predict that. So
yeah, yes. Not since I turned on the TV after OJ and heard one of the jurors say, I just didn't see any evidence. Oh! Okay.
Oh, well, you know, or the other one that I love, what did domestic violence have to do with it?
Oh no. Oh, no.
It's not like we put in any witnesses about that. Oh, wait.
Okay. Marcia, tell us legally about the manslaughter thing. What does that say to you as a prosecutor?
So that kind of strikes me as the easy road for the jury to take. Here's the thing. Second-degree murder requires malice under the law, which means ill will. In other words, he did not premeditate the crime. He went after, though, Trayvon because of an intention to do harm, an ill will or spite, and then in the course of the fight, intentionally shot and killed him. That's second degree. But if you don't believe that, if you think that he really was just out there following him but didn't have ill will, and he got into a fight with Trayvon that he then unreasonably believed was going to cause him imminent death, then you can find him guilty of manslaughter. But if you find that he reasonably believed he was about to die, then it's justifiable homicide, and that's a walk.
Well, Marcia, doesn't the 911 call with the, effing punks and these, you know, blank holes, I mean, doesn't that show malice legally? Am
yep.
I wrong?
No, I agree with you. I think it does. I think it does show malice. But a juror could disagree and say, you know, it shows his frustration with the failure of the cops to stop the burglaries in the neighborhood, but it doesn't show that he necessarily had, you know, I'm just trying to give the other side here. I'm
right.
Just playing devil's advocate.
I understand.
But it doesn't necessarily show malice per se in that moment against this kid. Just in a general sense, he's feeling frustrated. And so they could reason it that way if they wanted to.
Do you feel as bad for the foam dummy in the courtroom as we do?
That poor foam dummy.
I mean, really.
Wow.
Who's defending the foam dummy?
For the foam dummy. Nobody's ever brought that up. I was waiting for that to happen.
I mean, I think that's why Zimmerman didn't testify. As you alluded, he has a lot of inconsistencies in his story, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does. See, there was never, to me, a question. In the very, very beginning, before I knew how the prosecution was going to proceed with this case, because they have a choice. They have a choice. They don't have to use all of his statements that he's made to, you know, Hannity and to the cops and all that stuff. You don't have to use those statements. You can put on a bare-bones case and try and force him up on the witness stand. And if that happens, if they did try it that way, he would have to take the stand in order to get a manslaughter instruction. So I thought there was a possibility. But then when I saw the prosecution putting on all these statements, okay, that's over. And no defendant almost ever is advised by his lawyer to take the stand because danger, warning, Will Robinson. I mean, the prosecution is going to be in there to slice and dice you up. And in this case in particular, with Zimmerman's statements out there, that are basically uncross-examined by both the cops and Hannity, you have his best possible performance. It never gets any better for him than that. So why put him on the stand so he can make a mess?
Well, are you questioning the judgment of someone that would choose Sean Hannity as their legal advisor?
Hey, the phone dummy's the star witness on Hannity tonight.
Right? You know, I got to say it was one of the funnier lines I've heard. Lawrence O'Donnell said, George Zimmerman said in his statement, in his interview with Sean Hannity, that he had no regrets. Now, I bet he regrets talking to Sean Hannity now.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, how damaging is that legally, Marsha, or just in terms of how it's going to play with the jury? The fact that he said, you know, do you have any regrets? Would you do? Nope, wouldn't do anything differently. Really? Yeah. You know what I mean? Like,
exactly.
Really? You wouldn't have stayed in your car so an innocent, unarmed teenager would still be alive?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. See, legally speaking, you know, that particular statement doesn't have that much force, although they could, legally speaking, I guess, say, you know what, that goes back to the fact that he has ill will or spite. Mm-hmm. They might be able to reason it that way. But, yeah, it has a gut-level impact. Are you kidding me? That and saying it's God's plan? Oh, so now you're the hand of God. Okay. So yeah. I think that statement to Sean Hannity hurts him a lot.
Yeah.
Very offensive. If God wanted him dead, he would have smited him. God didn't. Yeah. Zimmerman did.
Yeah. Marsha, if you had to guess, first of all, what's going to happen today? We have the closing, and what's going to be the gist of their the defense's closing today?
You know, the defense is going to go after all the points they did before. They will try and dismiss all these inconsistent statements, saying nobody says the same thing the same way twice. And that's true enough. The problem is the significance of the inconsistencies. If I tell you, if something, Stephanie, if we're out shopping together and somebody pulls a gun on us, you know, and then we have to tell the story the next day to the cops, we will make mistakes, you know, or we'll say different things at different times. Like, oh, he was wearing a black bandana. It was around his face. No, it was around his mouth. No, it was up by his nose. You know what I mean? And those are the kind of inconsistencies that honest witnesses make. But his inconsistencies are consistently mistakes that seem to exaggerate his injuries, explain away why he was following Trayvon, you know, and all of it. That's not the kind of innocent mistake that just means he's misremembering. Mm-hmm. That's the kind of mistake, quote unquote, that shows he's just a guilty conscience and trying to cover his tracks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, exactly. By the way, I found your story implausible. I hate shopping. Now, if you'd said we were out drinking,
I'm already out. But that's why, you know, it's really interesting. I was never going to write a book involving a high-profile trial and show my lead, Rachel Knight, taking a case to trial in the context of a high-profile media case, because I thought, we're done with that. Yeah. But, you know, we're not.
Yeah.
This just shows it. I mean, it's not. It is a coincidence that my book comes out with that has a high-profile trial in it, you know, a lot of it, to show what it's like to be in the spotlight like that. But, you know, it isn't a coincidence in the sense that it keeps happening over and over, and I think it's always going to. This is the way cases happen to get tried. It's a new form of entertainment, a reality mm-hmm. show, if you will, mm-hmm. which is kind of a sick thing to say, but seems to be true.
Well, and you must be having, you know, flashbacks in that sense, too, that there clearly is a racial element. How big a role is that going to play in this particular case, do you think?
Yeah, that's such a good question, Stephanie. I don't know. You know, there's the racial role, actually, in this case, is more appropriate than it ever was in Simpson.
he didn't, she didn't divorce him because he was black, and he didn't kill her because she was white. Mm-hmm. It actually played no legitimate role in that case at all. It was foisted into the mix, you know, for the purpose of manipulating a jury pool.
Mm-hmm.
But in this case, it's legitimately on the table because part of what's going on here is he's targeting Trayvon because he's black.
Right.
If it was a white guy walking around, I don't think he would have blinked an eye. But because he said, oh, you know, these guys, and what, there's been all kinds of justifications stated. Yeah, well, five of the six burglaries in the past however long were by African-American men. Oh, that means every single time.
Well, that's what I mean to a layperson, Marsh. It seems clear that he racially profiled this kid. He stalked him, and he killed him. I mean, you know, it's like, I you know, that's what's fascinating, and, you know, why people like you are so great commenting, because the rest of us are like, what? I don't get, you know, that he was told to stay in his car. I mean, you think that's like that right there. You know, and he's calling him the suspect, right?
Yeah.
He's not suspected of anything except by you, right?
Suspected of being black.
Yeah.
Yes, suspected, he was walking while black, as they say. You know, and he's calling him the suspect after the killing. I mean, to the police and during in his statements. Yeah, oh, my God. You know, and it does to me, you know, this is a really clear mindset of what you thought and what you were up to. And you know, the whole, all the excuses for getting out of the car. To me, it starts right in the beginning when he says he's sitting in his SUV with the engine running and the lights on. And he claims that Trayvon Martin is circling around and staring him down. Really? Was he going to tackle you in your SUV? I mean, you know.
Yeah, or was he trying to get home in time for the All-Star game with his Skittles and his iced tea?
Okay, so here, and now you raise, that's the testimony of Rachel Jontel, his friend. He was on the phone with her during this his last moments, just before everything went down with George Zimmerman. She heard the beginning of the confrontation when he said to George Zimmerman, why are you following me? And Zimmerman saying, what are you doing here? And then Trayvon saying, get off me. And then, boom, the phone goes dead.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that's very telling stuff about who was the aggressor here. Now, the question has been whether or not Rachel Jontel is credible. This brings me to the gender question, which is so, this has fascinated me because I've asked all kinds. I've asked men and I've asked women. And it's really interesting that the women find her much more credible than the men do. She was, no question, she had an attitude on the witness stand. This frequently happens, by the way. You don't necessarily, most people don't see it, but it happens. Witnesses come in who don't want to be there.
Yeah, right.
They hate being involved. You know, actually, it's the best kind of witness to have, because the ones who want to be there are usually trouble.
But he was also putting her on trial, wasn't he, Marsha? I mean,
he
was really being very rude to her.
Yeah, I think they were being very hard on her because she's so crucial. And because she could be gotten to. She was fighting and sparring with the defense attorney because she was miserable on the witness stand. She explained why repeatedly. Look, you got to, she kept saying, you've got to understand, I'm the last one to talk to him. I feel horrible about this.
Yeah.
You know, I got it. It made complete sense.
And you know, the other thing I guess I don't get is this whole, again, as a layperson, it just seems so counterintuitive that it was George Zimmerman screaming. On the really? Help, help, I have a gun and you don't. You have Skittles. I mean, really? And then it goes completely, you know, silent right after the gunshot. I mean,
help, I've got a gun and I'm 50 pounds heavier.
Right. Right. I mean, how do you think that played? Because obviously just them putting, you know, witnesses from both sides on saying, oh, I know that was Georgie, oh, that was Trayvon. I mean, how do you think that's going to play, that part?
You know, now that one's up for grabs. Predictably, and we all predicted, that this was a volleyball that would go back and forth over the net quite a bit. And what side would actually land on, I don't even know that it will land. I'm not sure the jury's even going to be able to sort it out. To me, almost from the jump, I heard the voice, and it sounded like a young boy's voice.
Yeah.
You know, teenage guys, and I have two of them. I had two of them. They're now older than that.
Right.
But, you know, there's a little cracking to it. There's a high register to it that a man doesn't have.
Yeah.
Particularly a man of his size. And I understand his voice can be kind of high and that your voice under stress gets even higher. But there's no way to me that sounds like Zimmerman. But logically speaking, where the jury may actually fall on Trayvon's side of this is the point you made, Stephanie, it was the moment the shot was fired, silence. The screaming stopped. Now, if you're the one who has the gun, you're the one who fired the shot, you're still making some kind of sound afterwards.
Right.
Help me, help him, call the police, something. But there's nothing.
Yeah.
Bang.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Marcia, it sounds like you're predicting a manslaughter conviction. Is that correct or no?
Yeah, I think I think there's better money on that than second degree.
Mm-hmm.
But you never know. But it's also possible that there's an acquittal, and that's why this one is so. You know, you just don't know what side of things they're going to reason with. And remember, the defense's burden is only to raise a reasonable doubt.
Yep.
If they feel really confused about what happened here and partially persuaded that Zimmerman really reasonably believed in his own imminent death or great bodily injury.
Yep, yep.
That's all they got to do, because the state has to disprove it, you guys. You know that? The state has to disprove justifiable homicide as well as prove their own case. That's a lot.
Well, if Zimmerman does walk, he's going to be looking over his shoulder for the rest of his life.
Well, let's hope there's not, violence after this. But the one thing we can all be sure of, that your new book, Killer Ambition, will be awesome, because every time I've gotten one of your previous books, one of my friends has thieved it from me, and I have to beg another one off of him. Killer Ambition, the newest Marcia Clark book. Love you, honey. Talk to you soon.
Anytime, Steph. A pleasure, you guys.
All right, honey.
Yay,
all right, Marcia Clark. Marcia Clark. She is so awesome. She is the awesome.
Yep.
49 minutes after the hour. Back with the remaining moments of Friday's Bugle Saying on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Pull over. Your DWL. Driving while laughing. It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Yo.
Stephanie Miller.
Let's kick it.
Yeah, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. It occurs to me, we have pretty much all the rappers on GQ Magazine's 25 worst rappers of all time on our bump list.
Yes, we do.
Vanilla Ice coming in at number 4, MC Hammer at number 6. All my favorite bubblegum rappers.
Who's number 1?
Insane Clown Posse.
That's fair. That's fair.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Right.
Although Miracles is a good
Can the Republican primary field sue for, because they were the original Insane Clown Posse.
Yeah.
Hey. Oh, all right. Jay-Z, Jim, will not forgive Robert De Niro.
Huh?
Yeah.
A little bit.
Just a little bit pissed.
They have a little beef.
Yeah. He has no plans to bury the hatchet with Robert De Niro. They had a falling out. The actor confronted him about not returning his calls.
Really?
And
he had no enthusiasm for calling me.
Right.
Enthusiasm.
Exactly.
Is that like a Tribeca thing?
I don't know. It's a Tribeca turf war. I don't know.
Jay-Z mentions De Niro in his biggest hit.
What's that?
In the New York song
with
Alicia Keys. He mentions De Niro.
All right.
Yeah, well, they are no more.
Sorry about with De Niro.
Huh.
Well, guess who's number one for being the douchiest singer of all time? Justin Bieber, who
has
apologized to Bill Clinton. What is this story about? First of all, he's leaving a restaurant and he pees in a bucket.
I did last night's F-bomb on
which
this.
Someone has
on
to
the
clean
show.
That up, I guess.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He sprays a photo of Bill Clinton with cleaning liquid for some reason, saying... Bill Clinton, which I don't know why, but so he called Bill Clinton to apologize.
Glass-Steagall, maybe?
Uh-huh. Can I talk about that for 1 second?
Yes, please.
Because here's the thing. I think it's great that he called Bill Clinton and to apologize. First, he's leaving with his suck-up little toady flunkies to the back of this restaurant. He urinates in the bucket wearing his MC Hammer fire sale pants. His friends film it. Then he sprays cleaning product, because this is where they prepare food, onto Bill Clinton picture and says, F Bill Clinton. Careful what you wish for, punk. Then he calls Bill Clinton. I don't know how he gets Bill Clinton's number.
Right.
He tweets about how the president forgave him. Bill Clinton allegedly said, if that's the worst thing you do, it's all as well. My question is, I want to think the president said, dude, the real person you need to apologize to is the janitorial staff member who has to clean your human waste out of that bucket.
Yeah.
But all the media talks about is the celebrities and not the working folks who do. This guy needs to apologize to the restaurant, the entire staff, and the rest of us.
You're right.
We're looking like the lost love child of Vanilla Ice.
Thank you. All right, thank you. Oh, and he brought it magically back to Vanilla Ice.
Hooray.
Well, listen, if you're still defending Justin Bieber, believer, you're what I call an underachiever. Take that,
underachiever.
Paula Deen has fired her legal team.
Well,
you're fired.
Now?
You're making me look like a racist. Put on shorts and start tap dancing for me.
Yeah.
All right.
But they've done such a good job.
Yeah,
did you see, John, where they let Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, the 9/11 mastermind, design a vacuum cleaner?
Yeah.
I think that sucks.
These are the jokes, folks.
Oh, my goodness.
I guess that's the prize for being the longest waterboard victim in history.
Yes. Well, yeah.
You got to clean it up 14 seconds, the longest waterboarding in history.
The AP reporting the CIA got what they needed from him. He has a bachelor's in mechanical engineering. They want to keep him around and sane in case they need him in the future. We didn't want him to go nuts, said one CIA officer, so they allowed him to design a vacuum cleaner. He's also become a big Harry Potter fan.
Oh, really?
Yes. Sending his fellow prisoners a message not to talk about Osama bin Laden's courier through one of the books.
Whatever.
A little bit late for that.
I don't know. Yeah, exactly. Now? Wow. Now a warning in a Harry Potter book?
Well, hey, if a guy can build a bomb, he can build us a cool vacuum.
All right. John Fugelsang hosts the Viewpoint show here on the Current Television Network, which is a Sharknado of fun and facts and handsome.
Yeah, we had Michael Moore on for half the show the other day.
Oh, my God. All right.
Well, I've missed you, Steph. I was in down south, then I was in L.A., and you were away, then we were both off. Yeah. It's great to hear your dulcet tones.
I missed you, too, John Fugelsang. See you Monday on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Have a great weekend.
Thanks, John.